Well, praise God. Are you glad to be in church this morning? No? Wasn't too much of an amen. Well, let's try this. Get your Bibles out. That's a little better. At least y'all excited about something this morning. Praise God. I want you to, if you would, go in your Bibles to right at the very front. We're going to start at Genesis chapter 15 this morning. I want to share a word with you this morning, and I'm going to start a new series, be preaching on this for a while, and on faith. It's simply faith. I don't know what any exciting title to come up with. I'm just saying it's on faith. And I was doing some studying and some reading on this past week, and just kind of renewing my own faith and strengthening myself. And it was like I heard the Spirit of the Lord speak this to me, and you may want to write this down. It says, faith is the ability to stay encouraged when looking into the dark and knowing something good from God is coming, even though you can't see it. That's like Robert Richards' definition of faith. Faith's looking out into the dark, not seeing anything. See, you don't need faith if you can see the answer. Are you with me? But faith is the ability to look out there into the dark and still say, you know, God's got something good coming. That's when you're walking in faith. That's what faith truly is. The ability to reach out there and to touch the heart of God, even though you can't see it. Now, you find a story here in the book of Genesis chapter 15. Verse 1, about Abraham. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram, for I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus. Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring, and indeed one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come after you from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven. Count the stars if you were able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. Now, I don't know about you, but when I'm 90 years old, and God's telling me that I'm going to have as many children as all the stars that I can see in the sky, buddy, I'm telling you, that's looking into the dark and having to say, all right, God, I don't know how this is going to happen, but, you know, I mean, that's a feat, right? You're 90 years old. You've been trying to have a child with your wife forever, and then nothing happened. She's never had a child. She's been barren. When she's barren, there's no hope, there's no medical facility, there's no, you know, other way of fertilization, there's no, you know, anything going on, there's no drugs to take, there's no anything. Either she's barren, he has a kid, or she has a kid. Either way, that's it. There's nothing to do. I mean, I imagine they had their own little, you know, juju kind of things, you know, sleep on a stick or something, I don't know, you know, but eat this or, you know, do that. You know that there was some kind of remedy they had back in those days, but obviously nothing had worked. Have you ever been at the place, listen to me, church, that you're trying to get your life going or trying to get something happening in your life or trying to believe God for something, and you keep trying for it, and you keep trying to see something happening, but you just don't, it just doesn't seem to work. But then you go to the Word of God and you read what God's Word says, and you say, well, that's just, it should be happening in my life, but you just don't see it. Am I preaching to anybody in here that's ever been walking in that before? Or, huh? Well, that's where faith comes in. The ability to look into that situation and look up at the stars and say, well, you know, Lord, man, I don't know how you're going to do it. But it's not really my responsibility to know how you're going to do it. I just got to believe that you can do it. Abraham had no way to know that looking from our perspective backwards, we can see, look how many nations call Abraham their father today. We can look back and say, well, I see it happened, right? But Abraham couldn't look forward. He had to have the ability to look forward to it, but he could only look at what God was saying. Verse 6 says, so he believed the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. In other words, something happened that day in Abraham. He clicked in. Now, as I go on and I begin to preach this, because I'm just going to lay in some groundwork today, I'm going to come back on and show you something that Abraham did, or God did for Abraham in that situation. But I want to just kind of lay some groundwork about faith. Now, it's hard for us as human beings to operate in faith because man bases everything upon time. We live in a world and it's counting time and it's counting days. Now, if God would have said to Abraham, oh, don't worry, you're going to live 700 more years, and he's only 99, now things change, right? But we live on a timetable. We look at everything in time. It's like, I can still remember, and y'all are going to laugh at this, the young people, you don't understand it, you will someday. When I was 15, 16, 17 years old, going around with my father and going to auctions and, you know, buying cattle and doing different things like that and being around other farmers and ranchers and stuff like that, I thought anybody that looked like me was old. Me now. Not me when I was 16. I'd have said anybody that was 50 was old. Because I was 16. I was like, yeah, look at this old guy. Now, I'm going to be 52, and I'm looking and saying, Lord, what is old? Because it is me. So I've got to up the scale. I've got to make it higher. So I'm got to where, you know, I used to think 70 was old. Like, that's old. Now I've pushed it up. Man, 90. Now I'm at 90. Y'all with me here? I keep pushing the sliding the scale up because I'm like, wait a minute, I'm there. Well, see, what we do as humans, everything that we do is about time. So we're saying, oh, I've got to enter into my career at this time of life. I've got to have my children by this time of life. I've got to accomplish this by this time of life. So we get all in a tizzy. And we live in a world of pressure because we're trying to hurry up and get God to do something that we want him to do because we're looking at it in the perspective and the parameters of time. We've got to hurry up and get this done. But God, he's not like that because his perspective is a perspective that he sees the end from the beginning. He sees it already finished. He sees it through the eyes of eternity. He already sees your life. Like, as a Christian, you're going to live forever. But we let it state we've only got 80 years on earth or 90 years on earth or 85 or, you know, whatever. You see what I'm saying? We set these parameters of our life and we say everything has to be accomplished in them. But God's looking at it. Wait a minute, you're living forever. So if I'm only 51 years old, but I'm living forever, I haven't even got started yet. I can remember one day driving down the road. This is years ago. And I was driving down the road and I was just praying. I said, you know, Lord, man, you know, you gotta speak to me. You gotta show me. I mean, what, you know, what's going on, you know, with my life and where am I supposed to be and what is it? Da, 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 da. And it's like the Spirit of God spoke to me and said, you know, we haven't even got the first page open yet. And I'm like, what? I mean, what are we talking? We haven't even got the first page open yet. I'm talking about, I mean, I'm thinking I'm 3/4 of the way through the book of my life. Because you see, I'm looking at it from the time that I'm on earth and the time that I die, because we don't understand eternity. We don't grasp it. It's something that's seems unreachable to us because we see the cycle of life here on earth. You are born, you grow old, and you die, and we don't see you anymore. And so we think life ends there. So then we set up all of our thinking about ending there. Y'all with me? When the rich man came up to Jesus one day and he said, "Lord, what must I do to be saved?" And he said, "Well, you got to do this, this, and this." And he said, "I've done all those things. I've kept all the commandments." And he said, "Okay, you just got one more thing to do." He says, "Go give all that you've got. Give it to the poor. Sell all that you have. Give it to the poor. And come and follow me, and you're going to have riches in heaven." And the guy said, "Whoa, wait a minute, I can't do that." Because see, what happened was Jesus actually gave him an apostolic call. He actually called him to be one of the apostles. This guy, the rich young ruler, got one piece of in the New Testament about that big, you know, written on him, a few verses about him. But he could have been a writer of the New Testament if he'd accepted the apostolic call that day on his life, but he didn't do it. You ever think about that? I mean, I don't know what the guy's name is. We just know him as Rich Young Ruler, but, you know, his name might have been, you know, whatever, Zeb. And we could have had the apostle. I could have been saying to y'all this morning, turn to the book of Zeb, chapter 6. But he didn't choose it. He missed it. He missed the opportunity God had into him because all he could see was the now. He couldn't see by faith the future of what God was calling him to. He couldn't see an apostolic call. He couldn't see prospering, putting money from earth, exchanging money from earth to heaven. He couldn't get an eternal perspective. He couldn't believe that what he did on earth was going to affect heaven. Are y'all with me? Every day of your life as you're walking out there in this world, everything you're doing is affecting heaven or hell. He said, "No, it's just affecting me." No, it's not. I've told this story before. You know, my stories are all numbered. You know, I think it's number 14. I tell them so much, but I'll never forget it. This thing came so true to me. One time I was trying to get gas, and I was trying to get, it was when they started, when the pumps finally started going to, you know, like credit cards outside, and they were just kind of changing over and transitioning to that. And so I was trying to get gas, but the card wouldn't work. And so, you know, I kept pushing it in, doing it, you know, and it was like, it was late. I'd been preaching somewhere that night, and I was leaving. It was probably, you know, 11 o'clock or 12 o'clock, and I was trying to get fuel. And I kept putting the card in there, and it wouldn't work. So finally, I was like, "Oh, man," you know. And so I was in a hurry to get home, and I walked inside, and I went in there, and I said to the person behind the counter, I said, "Man, the pump won't come on." She said, "Oh, I know. After 11 o'clock, we shut them off, that you have to come inside." I said, "Well, why? I mean, you know, and I said, "Never mind." I said, "Here's my card, you know," and just gave her my card, and I walked back in. I said, "Will you turn the pump on? I want to, you know, fill my truck up." And so I was getting gas, and the whole time just getting madder and madder, thinking about it. I said, "Dadgum, bunch of idiots. I mean, man, okay, what is the difference? What difference does it make if I put the card in here and out there?" And I just kept getting madder the more I thought about it. I said, "You know, when I get in there, by God, I'm going to go in there. I'm going to give that girl peace of my mind. I'll say, I know it's not you, but you need to get the manager and you need to tell him that, you know, this whole place is just completely run wrong. My God, what is wrong with you people?" I mean, I was going to rip her. And so I went in there. I was ready. I opened up the door, swung in there, man. Blood pressure's up. I'm ready. Face is red. And right as I get there, I'm just about to just say, she says, are you Pastor Robert Richards? And I'm like, "How would you know?" And I said, "Yeah, I am. How do you know?" He said, "Well, I saw your name on the credit card. And you know, I listen to your radio program every morning. And I just want you to know how." And I'm just like, "Oh, God." Needless to say, I just got my fuel and left and didn't say anything. But if I would have gone in there before she said that and I would have ripped her, definitely she would have quit listening to me. But I would have hindered her walk with Jesus. You see what I'm saying? It would have affected heaven in a way. I would have in a sense be helping hell and hurt in heaven, right? So this rich young ruler, he didn't get the perspective. He didn't get it that Jesus was calling him to an apostolic call that day. He was calling him into the ministry, but his faith couldn't go beyond what he could see. Or his understanding couldn't go beyond what he would see because he couldn't operate in faith. Because faith is looking beyond what you can see. Faith is looking at the Word of God, at God's character, at who God is, at the relationship you have with Him, and looking at God, not looking at the situation. Hello? So the first thing you've got to start to understand here is that everything in the kingdom of God works by faith. It works by you believing in God. You say, oh, I know this, Pastor. Well, do we? And I don't know if today, whatever, you know, because I'm just rambling up here. So we're going to look at what is true Bible-believing faith, okay? I don't know if I'll get to it today. But before I get to it, I want to look at what faith is not, okay? Before I can show you what faith is, I got to show you what faith isn't, all right? The first thing is about faith, what faith is not, is faith is not mental assent. You cannot mentally grab hold of faith and ascend to some place and say, oh, yes, I have believed. You can't go, oh, got it. That was it. I'm in faith now. There's no mental. Now, you got to use your brain, and I'll get into all that later, but you cannot. There's not some kind of mental assent. That's what's wrong, has always been wrong, with the teaching on the power of positive thinking. Thinking positively is good for you, but just thinking positively but not operating in faith, it doesn't get you anything. The power of positive thinking is, you know, healthy for you, but it isn't faith. It isn't Bible-believing faith. You cannot mentally assent to something, all right? The second thing faith is faith is not a key to get God to do something for you. I want to tell you something right now, church. If you're going to say, okay, pastor's preaching about faith, we really need to get faith in life because I need to get God to do something for me, you're already in the wrong place. You're already thinking wrong. You're just looking at a way to manipulate God to get you what you want when you want it. Hello. Look at the person beside you and say, I think he's talking about you. No, don't do that. Faith is not... You know, you can't, people say, oh, well, I want to learn faith because I don't want any bad things to happen to me anymore. And I want everything to be good. And so I want to get, wait a minute. Faith is about a relationship with God. It's not trying to just use it as a tool to get him to do what you want him to do. The third thing, faith is not spiritualism or mystical. It's not the witch in the cauldron brewing up a big brew that you're going to get you some faith going so you can get things going in life. Now, there's a spiritual element to faith, but it's definitely not, you know, it ain't voodoo, hoodoo. Faith is a lifestyle. The Bible says the just live by faith. Faith is something that all of heaven functions in. All of heaven functions in faith. The fourth thing is, faith is not something that you can receive from another person. I can't lay hands on you and give you faith. Nor can you live by your mother's faith or your father's faith or your grandmother's faith. You can be inspired by somebody else to be a better person or to study or to learn God or do something like that. You can learn from another person about their walk with Jesus and all, but you cannot receive faith. You can't come. I can't lay hands on you and give you faith. If I could, I would. But I can't. All right? You can't get it from somebody else. You can be inspired, but you can't get it from them. The fifth thing is, faith is not something you earn by being good. You know, I can remember in kindergarten. I don't know why I can't remember, you know, yesterday, but I can remember when I was in kindergarten. And I can remember those blasted gold stars. You know? And the piece of poster board up with everybody's name on it, the little deals and the gold stars, and I didn't have any. You know, and I can remember You know, I mean, it's one of those bad things with children. You know, I wanted to rip the poster board down and beat the kid up that had the most gold stars. Rather than just taking that energy and trying to get better, that's what I wanted to do. Just find the kid that had them and beat him up, be ugly to him. And sad to say, it's probably what I did. But there's no gold stars with God. Listen to me, folks. He's not saying, oh, look, he did good. Give him a gold star. So that then when you come and you talk to God, you know, he looks up at your gold stars and says, you know, you've been doing good. Okay, I'll let you have it. We get this concept. As a pastor, I get so angry when something goes wrong in someone's life, they always want to blame it on God. And then they always want me to try to explain to them why God let this happen. Everybody calls a disaster, it's an act of God. Really? God didn't have anything better to do but blow up a fertilizer plant? You know, I mean, come on, let's get real. Let's get some brain cells working here. But the reason why they say that, I finally learned this over the years, is the reason why people say that and think that is because they put God in a place that he can do anything. So why do you let that happen? So in a sense, it's that part inside of every person that has the ability to believe in God, has the ability to have faith in its infancy operation, but they just got all their information wrong. It's amazing how many people do not attend church, do not read their Bibles, do not pray, but do say they believe in God. Because something down on the inside of them saying, there is a higher power. There's got to be a God. To me, it takes more blind faith to believe that planets could have just hit together and formed this. By far, that to me is out there. I mean, I'll go with aliens before I'll go with that. Right? Have you ever just been throwing rocks into the river and something just happened and made something pretty? You were just throwing rocks into a riverbed and they were clanking around and all of a sudden a house appeared? I mean, give me a break. But yet, people have down on the inside of them have an ability to believe, say, well, wait a minute. There's got to be a God. Because there's something down on the inside of us that wants to believe in God. It's because you were created by him. And when you were created by him, it's that yearning down on the inside of you that says, this is what I want. Now, you know, I like to eat. I'm glad all of heaven, the first thing we do when we get there is sit down and eat. I'm glad God likes barbecue. It's all scriptural. Go look at it. But have you ever eaten something that was really good? Like, I don't care what it would be, ice cream or some dish or a type of bread or something. You ate something that was real special and it was just really good. And then you went somewhere else and the same dish was served, and you looked at it and you thought, oh, your mind's telling you and your taste buds telling you it's going to taste like that other did that was really good. And then you tasted it and it was like, it wasn't good. Have y'all ever done that? Because the remembrance of everything that you've done, you're thinking of that thing that was really good. But when you tasted what looked like it, but it wasn't, your taste buds, everything cried out, yuck, that ain't right. When you've ever met Jesus as your Lord and Savior, whenever you've ever produced faith and believed in him from the very first simple elementary platform of believing that he is the Son of God, that he died for you, that he rose from the grave, that he is your Savior, that he has forgiven you of your sins, and that you are headed to heaven. When you've got that very first thing done, you have tasted what faith is like. See, I can't prove it. I've never met Jesus physically. I didn't get to shake his hand. I didn't go to the camp meeting that Jesus was at. and he laid hands on me and I got saved. No, it was an experience I had when I met Jesus in that barn and I cried out to him for the very first time in my life. I said, Jesus, I really want to know you as my Lord and Savior. And boom, something happened inside of me. It was the very first time I ever produced faith that had action to it that made me know that I know that I know that I know that I'm saved because I met Jesus. I didn't meet him, but I did. I can't explain it. I can't put it, you know, I can't always have good words to it. I can't, you know, put my fingers in your ear sockets and you understand. But if you do and have experienced Jesus like that, you know what I'm talking about. You're like, amen, brother. I don't know how to explain either, but amen. Are you with me? That's the good thing you tasted. From then on, every time you do something and you taste something that is not that same faith, you know it's not right. There is times I have prayed and I prayed a prayer and it sounded pretty good. And when I got through, I said, I wouldn't believe in that at all, Lord. I mean, I got to be honest with God. You can't fool God. Like there's other things, though, in my life that I've seen God do that when I pray, I said, well, wait a minute, let's just stop and pray. God's going to do that. Family, my family situation or whatever, you know, or something my wife and I just get in agreement with, okay, God will do this, you know, pray. And I'll see God move. But other things. Are y'all with me? And the reason why we're like that is because faith is believing in God and it can only come through a relationship. And the reason why you can't go more is you've got to increase your relationship with him and knowing him so that then you can truly be believing in him. And the depth of your relationship with God is going to set the limits on what you're going to be believing him for. So if somebody comes to you and says, listen, I don't understand what's going on. I just feel really convicted about my life and what I'm doing and what I'm living. And I just don't feel right. And I feel like I'm lost. I feel like if I died, I wouldn't go to heaven. And I really want to be right with God. Can you help me? And you say, yeah, the Bible says it's real simple. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart in Jesus, you can be saved. Person says, really? You say, yeah. That's what the Bible says. So what happened to me? I just was cried out to Jesus. He came into my, really? Well, will you pray with me? And so you have faith for that because you've experienced it. The other person comes walking up to you and says, listen, I got diagnosed with the doctor that I have cancer. And you say, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry. Can you pray with me? And you say, well, yeah, I can if it comforts you, but I don't really believe God's going to do anything. That's what you're thinking. The reason why you're thinking that is because that's how you've experienced it before. I have this really good friend, doesn't live around here, I've known him for a long time, and he's got the worst confession of his mouth I've ever seen, and sometimes I say, would you shut up? Shut up. I don't want to hear what the doctors say anymore. I don't want to hear what they're telling you. Shut up. And he doesn't understand faith, and it kind of offends him that I talk to him like that. And I said, man, you're killing yourself by what you're saying in your mouth. Would you just shut up? It's better for you just to not say anything. It would be, I could really help you if I just cut your tongue right out of your mouth so you could not speak. Because I'm going to get into speaking about this, faith and speaking and what you say. Because if you walk around all the time saying, oh, God, this is sick. This is going to happen. This is going to happen. And everything in your life is a bad report. You're going to walk in, I guarantee you. But your faith is totally and completely at the level that your relationship is with Jesus. So if you've been saved and you know that you're saved and you're assured of your salvation and you confidently know that you've walked in faith in that area, so then you're going to be able to lead somebody else to Jesus because that's where you've been. If you were in financial trouble and you saw God deliver you in your financial trouble and God is now your financier and you understand the principles of giving and sowing and reaping and tithing and all these things like that in your life and you've implemented them in your life and then those are being blessings to you and you see it working, you have faith in those areas to talk to somebody about it. Are y'all with me? So your relationship with God is directly tied to your faith in God. So if you want to increase your faith, you know what you got to do? You got to increase your relationship. That's why I can't give you faith. Because faith can only come from you sitting down and spending time with him and knowing him. See, a lot of y'all know me. You know who I am. You see my face. You recognize my face. You recognize my truck. You know some things about me. You know I like to eat. Right? You may know what my favorite dish is. You may not. You may know what I like to drink. You may not. And the only way you know more about me is to have time with me, spend time with me. Are y'all with me here? Some of you, I know you, but I don't really know you. Right? And there's nothing bad about this, is what I'm saying. I'm just saying, if I really want to have faith in God, I have to spend more time with him. I have to really, really know the heart of God. And when I really know the heart of God, then I know faith. So if I have spent, you know, time with you and I know what you like, and somebody comes to me and says, hey, I was going to get so-and-so a gift. Do you think he'd like this? I said, nah, he ain't going to like that because he doesn't do that, but he'd like this. Right? Because I know him. Okay, let me just test this. Let me just test you here, okay? Let's have a little fun here. Okay? Bill, can I use you as an example? I won't embarrass you too much. How many of you in here know that Bill Kellner is a pilot? Raise your hand. See, not everybody does. Not everybody in here knew. Man's been sitting there for years. Are y'all following me here? Okay. How are you going to know that? Well, you would have had to been, let's just say, dinner on the grounds, sitting at a table with him, talking to him. Something was mentioned. Oh, you fly? Yeah, I fly. You got a? Oh, you have a plane? You had to develop that relationship. You see what I'm saying? It took time. Today, we want to go on the internet. We want to research some information and then say we know it. But I want to tell you something. That's not developing a relationship. Developing a relationship, it takes time to sit on the person's porch and drink a cup of coffee with them and find out what really is truth. Are y'all with me? Now, I'm going to give you one more scripture here. Go to Hebrews chapter 11. Y'all are so quiet this morning, you're scaring me. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen are not made of things which are visible. This whole world, whether you realize it or not, everything you see around you, everything that you can experience from the feel of the wind blowing on your face, to that sound we used to know and be real familiar with called rain on a roof, was all created by faith. You see, if you believe that this world's bumped together and then started functioning and some organism crawled out of the ground and eventually formed a monkey and you became one of them, a monkey's uncle. See, you don't believe the world's framed by faith, so therefore you don't believe that faith exists in this world. But I'm telling you, everything you see out there, the trees you see out there, the grass you see out there, the air we breathe, everything was formed by faith. You live in a world full of faith, but yet this world is trying to teach us that we have to live by sight. And there's the conflict. The world teaches us from the time that we grow up that we're looking at our eyes and we're believing and we're doing everything in life based upon sight. I had a person come to me one time, mad as a hornet, and said, I'm just going to confront you about this. I said, okay, what? She says, I don't know why you don't like me. I said, okay. I'm not real sure why I don't like you either. Tell me why you think I don't like you. Well, I was in the store the other day, and it was over, you know, going down the aisle of HEB, and I saw you, and I looked at your face and the way you were looking on your face, and you didn't turn around and acknowledge me. I said, really? I said, well, I'm really sorry that I didn't notice you, but I didn't see you. I had no idea. And if I'm ever in a store, especially like HEB, following my wife around shopping, I do not have a pretty smile on my face. I, first of all, don't want to be there. And I'm probably not in the best mood. And I probably wasn't happy. And I didn't see you. Oh, you're not mad at me? I said, I didn't even see you. Why would I be mad at you? But this person had just looked at my face, determined what I looked like, determined the whole thing about about what I thought about them, developed this all into them, been mad for months, and then finally came and confronted me about it, and I didn't even know what they were talking about. Because we're based on a sight-oriented society. We look at things, and then we determine and reason how those things should be. But the world was created by faith. Listen to me. It was not created by sight. It was created by faith. So if you're operating in sight, you're actually being opposed to, it's like two magnets trying to go together. You're actually being opposed to the way God operates and functions in life. You're fighting against each other in life because you're trying to operate by sight. And God says, no, 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 I want you to operate by faith. I want you to believe me that what I said, I would perform it. Hello. Two magnets opposed to each other because we're operating in the wrong system. We go to the doctor gives us a bad report. We say, well, go home, tell everybody, say, oh, this is the way I want my funeral. When the Bible says, Isaiah 53 says, whose report are we going to believe? God's or the Lord's. Who has ultimate say-so in our life? The one that created us? Or the one that thinks he knows how to fix us? You see, folks, it comes down to what are we going to believe in? We're going to believe the Word of God's true or not. Well, the church I go to, we don't believe that. Well, what does the Bible say? Men could get it wrong. People argue over the translation of the Bible. I don't care. There's not 99.9% of all the Bible and all the translations right, exact, agreeing up. So why don't you just pick one up and see what the Bible says? If the Bible is God's word and you believe the Bible is God's word, well, it was written by man. I don't know. Well, see, now you just compromised your faith. You don't believe it's the word of God. I want to tell you something. I'm a simple guy. I believe in a good old-fashioned gospel. I believe Jesus is the Son of God. I believe God's my Father. I believe he loosed the Holy Spirit upon this earth to help me out and keep me out of trouble. And I believe that the Bible's true from the beginning to the end. I don't always understand it. I don't always, you know, look at the thing and say, well, I don't know what exactly that's saying. But you know what? I don't really care. It's true. I just hadn't figured it out yet. It's right and I'm wrong. And I live that way. And you know what? It makes things really simple. Because if it doesn't line up with the Word of God, I don't believe it. And if it doesn't line up, if somebody doesn't line up with the Word of God, then I'll argue with them. Right? Like, you know, you can argue whatever you want to, but I know the Bible talks that Jesus wears boots. I found where it was written. Said he appeared and had on boots of brass. I said, thank you, Jesus. He's got cattle on 1,000 hills. He's a cowboy. We're coming back on a horse. I make a very good point. Y'all with me? So church, listen to me. Wherever you are today and whatever you're wrestling through and whatever's going through in your life and wherever you're at, just stop today and think about the depth of your relationship with God is going to also be the depth of your faith. So if you want to have more faith in life, you've got to get to know God better. Okay? And so for the next few weeks, I'll be going over all kinds of things about everything, about faith and developing your faith and speaking faith and walking in faith and increasing your faith and all kinds of good things like that. But I think I've said enough today. Amen? So if you would, put your Bibles up, stand to your feet, look at the person beside you.